I want to once again thank the Hooks family. That was a real blessing. One of them came up to me and said this morning that their voice wasn't the same as it used to be a few years ago, and they were concerned that I was going to be critical of that. And I have to say, I was thinking several things. I was thinking, I was so blessed by seeing the parents and the children. And the children aren't young puppies anymore. You know, I was so blessed. I was so blessed to see the family, the generational worship through music. And I hope that you do that with your family gatherings at Thanksgiving and Christmas. And whenever you have an opportunity to get the children together and the grandchildren together and the grandparents and great-grandparents, that you worship the Lord intergenerationally. However, you would do that. So thank you. Thank you. Yeah. As you may know, I think I've already told you about this, about me. I like to follow the weather forecast. I'm kind of a weather forecast geek, I guess. Sometimes I think I should have been a meteorologist. I get excited when I see a low pressure front coming from the south, and it may bring snow. I get excited by that, and it drives Elizabeth crazy. She can't stand the fact that I get so excited about that. But we all know that the weather forecast is not very exact sometimes. It's not an exact science. Nevertheless, we live in an age with satellites and computers and communication and highly trained meteorologists and radio and television and other things that can give us this forecast. They can warn us if it's possibly going to rain this afternoon. And so we, as they're leaving in the morning, even if the sun is shining, we ought to be smart enough to take an umbrella with us in order to be dry in that afternoon, assuming that the rain comes. But still, there are those who get wet anyway. Why is that? Well, for one thing, they had no idea it was supposed to rain. Because they don't listen to the weather forecast. They don't watch TV. They don't listen to the radio. They don't read the newspaper. In fact, they don't even pull up the weather app on their iPhone. They're reading other things. They're not checked. They don't care. They don't care. So the rain comes. Surprise! Shouldn't be a surprise. But it is. And you know what? I think that's kind of an interesting way to talk about the birth of Jesus Christ, the incarnation of our Lord. It shouldn't have been a surprise. God gave us a forecast. He gave us a foretelling of things that are going to happen. He told us about it for years before it happened. He even told us where it was going to happen, in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Now, for those of you who are going to be standing there in just a little over 3 weeks, I want you to remember these words. Bethlehem, out of you will come for me, one who will be ruler. As we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as we celebrate his incarnation where it really happened. The prophet spoke, the people heard, but still they were surprised. But frankly, I suspect I would have been too. I suspect you would have been as surprised as I would have been. You see, for one thing, the prophets weren't saying there's going to be a special birth this afternoon. They were saying it for years, for centuries before it actually happened. They were saying a Messiah will come. And the prophets had a lot more to say about that Messiah who was yet to become. And it was all predicted very accurately, I might add. For instance, he would be born of a virgin. He would enter into Jerusalem with triumph. It talked about that he would go to Egypt Even 30 pieces of silver was prophesied accurately long before it happened. It was prophesied that he would be rejected, betrayed, spit upon. So, we read the prophecies like the people of old read the prophecies, heard the prophecies. But we go about our daily routines. We go about raising our kids and helping them to get out of the nest. We go about working and saving and preparing for taxes and retirement. We work to get food on the table. We care for our aging parents. We bury our loved ones year after year, century after century. Life goes on. And all the while, we might be thinking, oh yeah, those prophecies about the Messiah. I've heard about that. Yeah, right. I'll focus on that later. They've been saying that for centuries. It hasn't happened. Oh, it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. It probably it will be in Jerusalem because, you know, the king and all that. And there'll probably be, the shofars will blow and there'll be a big coronation and people will sing special songs and they'll put a special robe and crown on him and he'll come in and it will be a wonderful, glorious time. Surprise! Peasants. A little hamlet. Animals. Manure. A feeding trough. Suburbs. Surprise. Philippians 2:8. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself to take on skin and bones. God, you know, was full of surprises. Abraham, Isaac, Noah, flood, Moses, the Red Sea. Elijah, fire coming down out of heaven. Jesus, a manger. God was full of surprises, and the incarnation of Jesus Christ was one of his best. God is still full of surprises. God is still full of surprises. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with that? I ask you that because it's well known that some people say that they really don't like surprises, even pleasant surprises. They really don't like them. They would rather go to the same restaurants over and over and order the same meal over and over. No surprises. I hear some people chuckling. They prefer to tell others what they want them to give them for Christmas. No surprises. They like to play it safe with everything in life and have control over their lives. So when they realize that God can still surprise them, it can cause some anxiety. But here's something interesting. In a recent issue of the Journal of Neuroscience, there was a report that some scientists from Emory University and Baylor College of Medicine together ran some tests. They took a machine, and the machine squirted a liquid into the mouths of people. Sometimes they squirted fruit juice, and sometimes they squirted water. But they never let them know, or they sometimes let them know what to expect, and sometimes they didn't. They would surprise them. And by means of an MRI, they measured their brain waves. Here is what one of the neuroscientists reported, quote, "We find that so-called pleasure centers in the brain do not react equally to any pleasurable substance, but instead react more strongly when the pleasures are unexpected. This means that the brain finds unexpected pleasures more rewarding than expected ones, and it may have little to do with what people say they like." In other words, you may say that you don't like surprises, even pleasant ones, but your brain does. Your brain does. And God knows your brain. He made it. God knows your spirit. He breathed it. God knows your future. He's already planned it. And He knows what surprises He has in store for you. Just as He said through the prophets of the Old Testament, God may be sending you messages today in your life, signs in your life today of things to come. And you may not see them or hear them or feel them or understand them, but God does. He's got a plan for you. Are you okay with that? When it comes, you probably shouldn't be surprised, but in all likelihood, you will join the ranks of the innkeeper and the shepherds and all those people who were surprised, even that first holy night in Bethlehem. Now, I've also shared with you this about me in my past. I used to be a Boy Scout. You know what the motto of the Boy Scouts is? Say it. Say it more. Be prepared. Be prepared for what? For surprises. Sometimes preparation has nothing to do with surprises. After all, squirrels prepare for the winter, don't they? They're not surprised. Brides prepare for their weddings. No surprise. Merchants prepare for Black Friday. No surprise. Painters prepare the wall before they put paint on it. No surprise. The flight attendant says, prepare yourself for landing. No surprise, we hope. But you do prepare yourself for surprises. Now, some people say that there are good surprises and there are bad surprises. Perhaps we should think of it this way. There are surprises that we perceive as good. And there are surprises we perceive as bad. But God is in control of all of them. Are you okay with that? Matthew 5, verse 45. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Whether God causes the sun to rise on your life or the rain to fall on your life, He is in control of both of them, and He knows what He's doing. He has a wonderful plan for your life, and He may be planning to take you to a place in your life you never dreamed of. Are you okay with that? Every day that happens is pregnant with the power and the presence of God. Psalm 139:7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And verse 16, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Romans 8:28, one of our favorite verses, and we know that in all things God works for good, for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Brothers and sisters, that's us. That's you. That's me. We have been called according to God's purpose. And He's got the whole world in His hands, including your world, including all your surprises. Are you okay with that? Let's think about two Josephs as an illustration. Two Josephs, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. First, of course, Joseph from the Old Testament. He was surprised by his brother's betrayal and the pit. He was surprised to be sold into slavery, only to later become the ruler of Egypt. Surprise! Eventually, he was allowed to minister to his dysfunctional family. Surprise! Is anyone in your family dysfunctional? Pause for laughter. Of course. I think every family has people. Never mind. Every family. every family. Elizabeth and I are the only perfect people I know, the only normal people I know in our family. Maybe God is going to use you to help those dysfunctional members of your family, just like he did Joseph in the Old Testament. Surprise. Now, let's think about Joseph in the New Testament. Engaged to be married. She gets pregnant out of wedlock. He's not the father. Surprised. Humiliated. Angry. Confused. How could this work for my good? Then God gave him the privilege of being the earthly father of the King of Kings. Surprise! Are you ever humiliated? Are you ever angry? Are you ever confused? Maybe God is trying to invade your life with his Holy Spirit, and you discover eventually that he is working for your good in everything that's happening. You just can't see it, and you certainly don't feel it. Are you okay with that? So God predicted Bethlehem, and yet man was still surprised. Well, God also predicted this. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. That's near the beginning of God's word. That's in Genesis 2. And here's something from near the end of God's word in Hebrews 9. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. You are going to die. No surprise. The fact that you are going to die shouldn't come as a surprise to any of us, but death has an ugly way of surprising us sometimes. Heed the forecasts. Take an umbrella. The umbrella that is the covering grace of Jesus Christ. You need it. In the 17th century, Richard Baxter wrote these words of wisdom: spend your time in nothing which you know must be repented of. In nothing on which you might not pray for the blessing of God. In nothing which you could not review with a quiet conscience on your dying bed. In nothing which you might not safely and properly be found doing if death should surprise you in the act. Whoa. Be prepared. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, John said. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. He will appear a second time, his second advent, to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Be prepared. Be prepared. Are you ready for that? Are you prepared to face his judgment? That umbrella, that covering, that mercy and that grace of God is available to every person here and every person listening to this recorded sermon. That mercy, that grace is available to you, but you must receive Jesus Christ as the only way to God the Father. If you don't accept him, you will get wet. And it should be no surprise when it happens. Surprises grab our attention. Surprises sometimes stop us in our path. They cause us to stop doing what we're doing. Surprises sometimes get us to go do things that we should have been doing all along. Unpleasant surprises cause us to fall on our knees where we probably needed to be in the first place and beseech God. Pleasant surprises cause us to fall on our knees and thank God. I wonder what Christmas surprise God may have for you this year. What surprise might God have in store for you? And what should you do to be prepared for it? Here's the answer. It's from one of the most beloved Christmas songs ever written. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. He has come. We're about to celebrate that coming once again. That's no surprise. He knows our need. To our weakness is no stranger. Behold your King. Before him lowly bend. Christmas has a way of coming around every year. That's no surprise. But Christ has a way of coming around every second. Every second. And it still surprises some people who consider themselves to know him intimately. Behold your King. Behold your King. Before him lowly bend. Worship him this Christmas, brothers and sisters. Worship him every second. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory forevermore proclaim. His power and glory evermore proclaim. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the incarnation of Jesus Christ, for humbling yourself to become like we are, to show us that we do not have to remain as we are, but we can come into a new life in Jesus Christ. And I pray that every person here who has done that will rededicate their lives to him, Lord, with conviction, with joy, with energy. May they bow before the King and worship you in spirit and truth. And if there is any person here who has not given his or her life to Jesus Christ, and I don't care whether they are a child or a great-grandparent, and Lord, you don't either, I pray that they will seize the moment again and that they will indeed come to you, their Lord and Savior, and confess Jesus Christ, the one born to set us free from our sins, to proclaim him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May your Holy Spirit hear this prayer and act. And now, Lord, bless us as we give to you because you have first given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.